Let's please turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to just read the 10 verses that we covered in our studies. The first week we did the background of Habakkuk, and then last week we did verses 1 through 10. And then somebody showed me a study Bible that has a lead into Habakkuk, and I thought it was really a great statement. Habakkuk's ministers during the death throes of the nation of Judah. Although repeatedly called to repentance, the nation stubbornly refuses to change her sinful ways. Habakkuk, knowing the hard-heartedness of his countrymen, asked God how long this intolerable condition can continue. And God says, oh, not much longer, I'm bringing Babylon. And then Habakkuk has a hard time with that because he knows that's destruction for the nation. And as we are living in a time, here it is October 11th, and on October 7th, you know, just that many days ago, Hamas invaded a relatively hard-hearted, sinful nation of Israel. And there's discipline coming to the nation of Israel. And are the other nations hard-hearted in the rebellion against God? Yes. And does the prophets of the last days say the whole world's going to go into a time of discipline? Yeah, I think, and many people believe, that we are watching the beginning of the discipline of Israel, as well as the beginning of the discipline of the nations of the world, bringing about a time of Jacob's trouble to the world. And that's going to affect us to the point, just like it affected Habakkuk, because he was still alive. I mean, it was like, looks like about 2 years later, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar comes for the first time to bring trouble to Israel. We saw that Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, he saw the complete destruction of Jerusalem. He saw it being wiped out. He was almost killed by his own people because he was too negative in telling the people the prophecies that God had towards the nation. And they almost killed him. And so he saw the trouble. And we could see some trouble before the Lord delivers us in the rapture of the church, before the world gets plunged into a time of unbelievable trouble as a discipline of God is going to be falling on the world. So again, I'm just going to quickly read the first 10 verses to just keep the train of thought for those that are just joining us. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgments proceeds. And then God answers, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I, God, will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, Iraqis, you know, in the day, but, you know, a coming world power, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. And so that's how far we got last week. God's saying, I'm going to send somebody, and they're really good at messing with other nations. They can do great damage. And we're living at a time where we saw Hamas and their, you know, couple thousand guys that came into Israel to kill hundreds and hundreds of Israelis. I think it's close to 2,000 Israelis now have died or been kidnapped, and more hundreds have been wounded. And so a small group of people were able to do some great damage to an Israeli nation that was kind of sleeping at the wheel. We'll talk a little bit, but I want to start with these line items. The current situation, according to a friend of mine in Israel that I've known for years, is that he says that all-out war is going to likely happen tonight. And the reason for that is our carrier battle group is in place. You know, they've sealed the border with Gaza. They've been bombing Gaza. All the troops are ready. Everybody's manned up. The Israeli government has told all Israelis throughout the entire country to all be prepared for 3 days in their house, in their bomb shelters. You know, most of the Israelis have bomb shelter rooms. They make rooms that are hardened. For 3 days, no power, no water, no sewer, no phones, no internet, because they're going to kill the power for the whole nation. And they have to all be ready. So they've all accumulated water and flashlights and everything else to be able to live for 3 days. So the government's saying for 3 days. And he didn't say this. My guess is that you don't want any power for several reasons. One is because if you have power generation going when a rocket comes and lands and takes down a power pole, more damage gets done. Fires start, everything else. If you get rid of all the power, there's going to be a lot less secondary fires starting in houses and developments as a result of no power. And it'll be easier to repair the power grid when it comes up because you're not going to blow a bunch of transformers that are shorting out because of damage to the electrical grid. And no power means no cell phone towers, which means no phones, which means that any terrorists in the country, which again, there's over 1 million Muslims who live in Israel, and some of them are Israelis. You know, so they're citizens of Israel that are being called upon by the Islamic Hamas and Hezbollah that when this war goes hot, we want you to join us. You're supposed to grab a gun, grab a hammer, grab something and go kill a Jew. And so everybody, because of the power outage, they're not going to be able to communicate that well. And everybody's going to be staying in their house. So if anybody's outside, most of the Israeli defense forces will be able to realize they're probably terrorists that are trying to come and stop, and they'll be able to more easily identify who's friend and foe. The confusion on the day of the invasion, they had Jews shooting Jews because the Hamas was dressing up in Israeli uniforms, driving Israeli trucks, and so Israel, there were Israelis thinking that, because they had already been confused by uniforms, that this checkpoint, although it looks Israeli, is actually them, so they tried to run it, and the Jews are thinking it's a Hamas guy running it, and so they're shooting each other. And then just the confusion that was happening as a result. My source was saying they think that that's going to be invoked tonight because they're going to invade Gaza, and when they do, Lebanon, Hezbollah has promised at that moment that they will start raining down missiles on Israel. Hezbollah has amassed thousands of troops on the borders with Israel. Israel sees them amassing. They're already trying to hit them with artillery. And those kind of things are going on and supposed to go all hot by, you know, we might wake up tomorrow and find out it's all hot on that front. And if that's the case, then I won't be able to call to get an update so I might not be able to call. He goes, keep calling, Kevin, you call. And if it doesn't go through, it doesn't go through. And you'll know that we're in grid down. And the reason why he thought it was tonight is because it made the news. This lady was being kind of weird and just really angry at the airport. I've got to get out of here. You've got to get me. And think about it. They've shut down the airport because no flights can come in and go out. But this Brazilian lady wants to get out. And she said, and they go, what is your trip? And she goes, my embassy has told me that the war starts tomorrow. And I got to get out because she knows the war is coming. Now, isn't this interesting? Because when you think about it, Israel, God is doing this, right? God is going to ultimately show his hand strong on behalf of the Israelis. In Habakkuk's day, he judged the Jews. But did he judge them all? No, they weren't all destroyed. There was a remnant that was preserved to this day. What would the Muslims and Satan behind that and the deep state want to do ultimately? Destroy them all. Wipe them completely out. So Israel's going to be disciplined. And you know, the other thing, what happens to people? What happened to the Ukrainian population when the war started? Greatly reduced. Why? They ran off to different countries. Can the Jews do that? Can a Jew run to Lebanon? Can a Jew run to Syria? Can a Jew run to Jordan? Can a Jew run to the Mediterranean? Only if they swim a long ways. Can they run to Egypt? No. In fact, on the day of the invasion, there were some Israeli tourists in Egypt, and when the policeman that was guarding wherever they were touring saw that there's an Israeli and the war is on, Allah Akbar, he just shot the tourists. And because it's like, I'm going to do my part. And so there's no place for the Jews to run. And so what do they have to rely on right now? Every single Jew right now in Israel, even the secular, are getting religious right now. Because they know that God better help them. And Israeli defense has got to help them. God's got to help them. And when they ultimately see that God really does protect them, although a lot of them are going to die, according to the prophecies of the Bible, the glory of Jacob will wane, Isaiah 17. The ones that survive are going to go, wow. And the world's going to go, wow, because it's going to be amazing. And he also said, and Kevin, you know, they are saying that Hezbollah, Iran and stuff are saying they're going to activate cells in your country, America, that they're going to be, you know, if we get involved, if our carrier battle group gets involved, then we're game on. And then all these people that have come across the border and possibly trained by the deep state are going to be activated, and it's going to be a problem in our country. And he says, Kevin, and then I asked him, I said, did your intelligence community really drop the ball? And he goes, absolutely not. He said, we have a deep state just like you have a deep state. And our deep state wanted to make, and this is, now this is his view because he thinks Netanyahu is totally like Trump. You know, to him, Netanyahu is like Trump. And that it was to humiliate Netanyahu so that he gets removed from office when the war is over. So the deep state has two goals. One goal is to use Israel as a proxy to go after Iran and Syria, who are not playing the globalist game. See, Russia's not playing the globalist game. We use Ukraine as a proxy to deal with them. The globalists sacrificed hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians to go and deal with Russia. And the deep state, both Jewish and American, let's just go ahead and deal with Iran, because Iran is a threat to Israel, which, by the way, Hal Turner reports tonight, just an hour ago, had video footage of dozens and dozens and dozens of mobile large missiles driving down the road. Somebody took video footage of all these mobile missiles going down the road in Iran, going to their staging sites to have missiles from Iran raining in on the Jewish state. And Israel expecting a five-front war. Hamas down in Gaza, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Iran, long-range missiles coming in, which Iran has promised they're going to do. If America gets involved, Iran is going to launch the missiles. Syria and the fifth column within Israel and possibly Jordan. Jordan is amassing troops to go to the border. And some people say, are you doing that to just keep your people from joining? Because the people of Jordan want to join. They think that this is going to be the final blow. This is going to be what gives them all the Jews dead, and they get the land of Palestine. They cause Israel to cease from being a nation, as Psalm 83 says. And Psalm 83 is about to be fulfilled. And so all that was coming from him. And he goes, well, so he thinks the deep state, their plan is to let this war happen, to win and beat back Iran, beat down Syria, so the globalists can take over Syria the way they wanted to back when Assad was supposed to roll over and be dead like Gaddafi. And then they're going to do a two-state solution with Jerusalem, East Jerusalem as a capital, with the people that have survived, and bring about the global government of what will be the global government of the Antichrist. And Netanyahu will be blamed for the security failure, and he'll be out. To get this non-globalist, nationalist Netanyahu, get him out, to put them in. That's what the source, that's what the source is thinking that the globalist plan is. So with that, let's go to verse 11. And Saudi Arabia, they don't want to run to Saudi Arabia either. And because what would happen in Saudi Arabia, we have to understand Islam is demonic. Islam, you can't make peace with Islam according to their own Quran, which I've read. They say if you're going to make peace with the infidel, only do it to get yourself some time before you go kill him. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't say it that close. But a peace treaty means nothing. They are supposed to subjugate the world into being servants of Allah. That's the ultimate goal of Islam. And so, yeah, they can't go there either. And so then verse 11, then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense. He ascribes his power to his God. So this is God still talking. I'm going to use the Babylonians and they're going to do all these terrible things. They're going to discipline you, wipe, you know, tens of thousands of Jews out because of their ferociousness. But then Babylon is going to ascribe their power instead of me letting them do that to discipline my Jews. He's going to say, my God's made me, you know, let me do this. And then God says, and then I'm going to deal with them because they've given the glory to their God. And who did that in the history? When you go to Book of Daniel, who was it that was doing that? It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar, I think we're going to see in heaven. If you read the Book of Daniel, he's going to be in heaven because he repents. He gets humbled by God and repents. But then his grandson, Belshazzar, takes over and he's the one that parties with all the, he's throwing a big party and he goes, hey, go get the cups and stuff that were used in the temple of Jerusalem and let's drink to our gods. And then the handwriting on the wall, meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin, goes up and that night he dies. He was glorifying his gods in conquering the Jewish people. And that was decades after this verse. Then his, Belshazzar, last king of Babylon's mind changes. He's not like Nebuchadnezzar, who ends up repenting and believing in the God of Israel, and he transgresses, he commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. On the night that he parties in Babylon, the Medo-Persians break through, they divert the Euphrates River, break into the town, and kill all the partying Babylonians that night. So you read Daniel chapter 5, you'll see Belshazzar, how he dies when the Medo-Persians come. And it's just going to be, so then I'm going to do throughout this study, I'm going to go then and now. So then God was using the Babylonians. Now in preparation for another Babylon coming. Mystery Babylon. The mystery Babylon of the global government that's putting together all this discipline that's about to happen to the world, including the Jews. And the Antichrist at the end is going to go, I'm God. You know, I'm God. He's going to ascribe all of his power to himself and to be God. And then God's going to say, and I'm going to deal with you. And we see that at the end of the book of Revelation. You know, in Revelation 13, it's Satan that's giving the Antichrist his power, and then God disciplines him when he destroys mystery Babylon. Verse 12, now Habakkuk asks another question. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment, O rock. You have marked them for correction. God, what you're telling me to use the Babylonians is they're all going to die. You've marked us for correction, but you can't kill us all. That's really what he's kind of alluding to. You're telling us we're going to be corrected, but you're using the Babylonians. How can you do this so harshly? Let's turn to Jeremiah 30, verse 1. Could the Jews today be wondering whether or not their country is going to be completely overrun with missiles and people to the point where they're completely destroyed? Could it be that all the missiles coming in, hitting all the power plants, all the port facilities that prevent any import and export of any goods, and have Tel Aviv just leveled to nearly nothing, and then realizing then we wouldn't even be able to survive economically, let alone with the tens of millions of Muslims that would just see that as a time of weakness where we can't do anything, come pounce on us and kill us all? Could they be thinking that tonight? They absolutely could. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. And is it possible that in the last day, the time of Jacob's trouble, that the Jews will be thinking they're going to be all dead under the kingdom of the Antichrist? It will be very possible then too. And Jeremiah kind of talked to our future, where it says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. Now, after Jeremiah, they came back, and then they were kicked out again in 70 AD. So it could be that this is the coming back when they came back under Zerubbabel, when the Medo-Persians took over. But look at what it says. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? But what this prophecy, which always, a lot of prophecies have a near and a far. So if the near was the Jews came back into the land, then all of a sudden he's saying, why are people on their knees like, I'm dead. I'm like a woman in labor. I'm in agony. There's no hope. We're all going to be destroyed. Well, in the 70 AD, that would have applied for near. They came back and then that happened. But now they're back in the land again. See, God said, I'm going to also bring them back in the last days. And it shall come to pass that, so they're all pale. They're like, we're going to die. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, when the Bible talks a time of Jacob's trouble, is that in the past? No, it's in the future. So this is Jeremiah speaking probably a little bit to the people that returned after the Medo-Persians let them return to the land, and then they had trouble when the Romans were kicking them out in 70 AD. But now we clearly are knowing that God's talking to another gathering of the Jews back into the land. Our day. It's happening in our day. And it will become a time of Jacob's trouble. Israel is about to have severe trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. When is that going to happen? When Jesus returns. So this is future, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest and quiet, and no one will make him afraid. So this is a prophecy that's really dealing with our day, even like Habakkuk is dealing with, in a sense, our day as well, as a near and far prophecy. I'm going to go back to Habakkuk 1:12 while I read Matthew 24:21. That's what I meant with earlier, is Matthew 24:21. And there will be great tribulation, Jesus talking about the last days, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Jeremiah was saying there's going to be a time where the Jews are just on their knees like they're having labor because and just panting because it's like we're going to die. A time of Jacob's trouble. Had the time not been shortened, nobody in the planet would live. They're going to think it's all over, that there's no way for Israel to survive. And since the Bible does say that this coming war, if it is going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 17, that the glory of Jacob is going to wane, there's going to be a lot of groaning within Israel in the aftermath of this, in the weeks and months after this. Habakkuk 1:12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. Your eyes, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil, the evil of Babylon coming and mercilessly destroying the Jews of Habakkuk's day. We could say the same thing to God. How could you let Hamas do these horrible, treacherous things and breaking through, and we just want to live in peace? And how can you do this as a discipline? Oh, and another thing, since Sunday, when I mentioned that rave party, there was hundreds and hundreds of people at that rave party. There was intel that a Brazilian party group is what set up that rave party. And it was a mockery of God. On the same day that's supposed to be a special day that really closes out the feasts of Rosh Hashanah, New Year's, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. That last day after that is a special day for the Jews. Simchat Torah, rejoice in the Torah. Simchat Torah, to rejoice in the law of God that we have just completed this feast where the crops are all in and everything. And what was the rave party? All about drinking, the guys just running around. From Brazil, the party people, that to get them in an altered state of consciousness was the advertised thing. Come and be here, and we can get you into an altered state of consciousness, and we'll pour out the vodkas and party and doing whatever else you want to do in debauchery. Brazil. The same lady that was Brazil wanting to get back because her government is knowing that the war is starting. And Brazil, very involved with Israel and others in setting up 15-minute cities, very globalist agenda. And how come they plan this thing to be right out in the open in this desolate area there in that part of Israel, and that's where all the hang gliders are coming in to go wipe them all out? And God let that happen, maybe out of discipline. You cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why can you allow a Muslim, Allah worshiper, take out Jews? Well, we're Jews. Well, because they were like the Jews before Babylon came. They were partying. Why do you make men, Israel, like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They, Babylon, take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they, Babylon, rejoice and are glad. For him, it was Babylon. It's like, what you're showing me, God, is that it's just like a fish that's just helpless. He can't get out of the pond. He can't get away from the fishing vessel that has just thrown a net, and they're all going to get in the net, and they're all going to be dead. And like I said, the Jews have no place to go. They're in a nation, and the globalist mindset, ultimately, the kingdom of the Antichrist coming, they are, under Satan's inspiration, thinks we got them all right here, and we're going to throw a net over them and kill them. As I kidnapped, tortured, slaughtered men, women, children, when the tens of thousands of missiles do get launched, if they do get launched. And we have to understand that, and Winston has said it before, all God has to do is take his fingers, multiple fingers, and just flip the back end of them and say, return to sender. All he has to do is, and the God that we serve could do that. He will do that if that's what he has to do to keep Israel from being totally annihilated by the tens of thousands of missiles that are coming. And so Israel could use up all of its Iron Dome, could use up all of its arrow, could use up all of its David sling, could use up everything that they have. The Americans could run out of ability to help them. And the people would be just sitting there, what are we going to do now? And they could even, I said on Sunday that Israel will use nukes. And let's say all of a sudden some decision gets made not to use them. And still, God will prevent them. Whatever it takes, there will be Jews living in Israel when the dust settles by the promises of God. Therefore, they sacrificed to their net. See, and who are the, right now, who is Hamas rejoicing that their net caught a bunch of several hundred Jews? They're praising Allah. And what Habakkuk is saying, God, the net of Babylon is going to really slaughter them. And then they're going to worship Marduk as their god Marduk defeated the Jewish God, you, God. They're saying it's their God that did it. And burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful, because now they've taken over the Holy Land. They took over the area and they took the spoil. How can you allow this to happen? Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? So when they get done with us, they're going to do all the other nations. And Habakkuk is probably saying that because he's living at the same time as Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's prophesying of all the nations Babylon's going to destroy. It's not just Jerusalem. They took Lebanon. They took Jordan. They went down to Egypt. They took all the, these guys are going to clean everything up. Now, are you going to let the globalists establish power over all the earth? Yeah, God's going to allow the globalists to establish power over the entire earth, to enslave the entire earth. And are you going to allow the globalists to overcome the saints that are here on the earth? What's the answer? Yeah, that he's given power over the saints to kill them. Now, not us, because it's tribulation saints. Us, the church saints, are taken to be with God in heaven in the rapture. But God is going to allow the globalist agenda to set up their Babylonian system to enslave the world and overcome them until Jesus comes back. Until before all life would be wiped out, Jesus comes back and he establishes his kingdom and protects the final Jews who will be looking on him whom they have pierced and weeping and wailing because he is truly their Messiah and he really kept his promises and he sets up his kingdom on earth, ruling from Jerusalem with Jews living in Israel in peace for the first time in their entire history, except for the short time with David and Solomon. And chapter 2, verse 1, which is kind of interesting. And what is Habakkuk really doing? He's questioning God. He's complaining to God. He goes, your plan is not a good plan. That's what Habakkuk is saying. And then he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I know I shouldn't do this, but I did it anyway, because that's how I feel. And I know I'm going to get a whooping, so I'm just going to sit here and wait until God does speak to me, and he's going to correct me. And so I'll see what he corrects me, and then he's going to do so by saying, and then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may read who reads. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So he's telling Habakkuk, write not on parchment, write it on a tablet, because this has to last a long time. And here we are reading it, not because we're reading it off a tablet, but it survived. Because what? It's for a long time. And really, throughout all of history, that last verse is throughout all of history. You look at the proud. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, because where is his soul headed? To the lake of fire. But the just will live by faith in God. Woe to the wicked. Woe to the wicked who is proud. And throughout all of history, the proud are always going to be wanting to wipe out the Jews, wipe out God's people, try and rebel against God, live for the world and the world's systems, living to serve Satan. That's what they're going to do, and they're always going to oppress and hate God's people. So when Habakkuk, how can you let this happen? Well, I'm going to allow discipline to happen to God's people that are living by faith throughout the years to preserve a remnant of them throughout the time. But you know what? Woe to the wicked. Those who live by pride, they're going to be dealt with. Babylon's going to be dealt with. The globalists are going to be dealt with. The people who reject God are going to be dealt with. But the just shall live by faith. And the just who live by faith, they have something that the world doesn't have. They look past this life and they go, my life is hidden in God. Old Testament, I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. I'm not going to worship idols, as he's going to, later on in the chapter, it's rebuking people that put their trust in idols. We trust in God. We don't trust in the things of this world. We don't trust in presidents and prime ministers and, you know, military-industrial complex or anything else. We know that all that's wrapped up in the world system full of pride and corruption and stealing from people and ripping people off, which is what this chapter is all about that we'll cover next week or, you know, maybe the week after. And so the just shall live by faith. Are we going to live by faith? And no matter what these following days bring to us, no matter what trouble comes to Israel, to this country, to our way of life, we just look past all that. All these wicked, prideful people, they're not right with God. Their souls are not right. They're going to be woe to them. But I'm going to live by faith in the God who so loved me, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me, to give me everlasting life. And I'm going to look past the here and now and look to that day where I get to go be with the God of the universe and the creator of all things. Amen. Father, we do lift up Israel tonight. For all we know, that while we're doing this study, the war, the real war, has started. And whenever it does start, Lord, it is going to be terrorizing to a mostly secular Jewish nation of Israel, where my source in Israel bemoans the fact that such a large percentage of their country is liberal and leftist and rejects you. It even rejects you, Yahweh, Father God, as well as your Son Jesus, who you sent to be their Messiah. And God, we just know that there's a great delusion and a deception that has fallen upon the Jewish people. And there's a remnant, a small remnant, that have truly embraced Jesus as their Messiah. And they're hated and scorned by their fellow Jewish people living in Israel. And God, we know that that's going to change. We know there's going to be revival first back to you, and then a ultimate revival back to your Son, or to embrace your Son as their Messiah. And as the troubling days of Jacob are almost upon them, that you would just help us to pray for them, because they are your chosen people, Lord. And they have been deceived as we were deceived, and that, God, you would open up their eyes, and especially at the miracles that you're going to perform on their behalf in the coming weeks, that you would just allow your Spirit to come upon them. Help the true church to be so in love with you and love with them, the Jews, that they would be jealous, God, as you told us in the scripture. Paul said that our mission is to make them jealous for their Messiah, because we stole them from them, because we embraced their Messiah, Jesus, and that you would help them to be jealous and by our love for them. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's worship God in this song.
Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Righteousness and mercy, judgment and grace, faithfulness and sovereignty. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the sovereignty. Holy
God. And He's a righteous God, a loving God, a long-suffering, merciful God. And what an awesome thing we can bow our knees to Him and worship Him in these days. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care. Hope you can stick around fellowship and see you at the finish line. God bless.